Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan, and today we're going to be talking about the first episode of Game of Thrones, Iron from Ice. Description for this game is Game of Thrones, a Telltale game series, is a six-part episodic game set in the world of HBO's groundbreaking TV show. This tells the story of House Forrester, a noble family from the north of Westeros, loyal to the Starks of Winterfell. Caught up in the events surrounding the War of the Five Kings, they are thrown into a maelstrom of bloody warfare, revenge, intrigue, and horror as they fight to survive while the Seven Kingdoms tear themselves apart. You will take on the role of different members of the Forrester household and determine their fate through the choices that you make. So just some background on this game. First, of course, that it's developed by Telltale Games, who is known for a lot of games, including The Wolf Among Us, the Walking Dead series. They've got two Batman games and several other different franchises there apart. Really, they are, I don't know if they were the first, but it definitely feels like they were the first of choice-based interactive fiction type of deal. So it's cool to actually finally be reviewing a game from Telltale Games on the podcast, because we haven't done it yet. I've played them before, but haven't reviewed any yet, so this is cool. Specifically, this Game of Thrones game, it actually lines up between the end of Season 3 of the TV show and the start of Season 5 of the TV show, so it kind of fits in there, kind of in that bucket of time. With that in mind, I am not going to spoil things in the TV show that the game itself doesn't address. So, I don't know. Don't fear if you're not caught up, I guess, or that kind of thing. I'm not going to spoil things that the game doesn't. In fact, for me, I'm watching the show for the first time, and I'm at the beginning of Season 5 myself. So I can't really spoil forward, but even as I do continue to watch the TV show, I'm not going to spoil things that I know about. If the game addresses it, I will. Otherwise, I will not, because really, you should go watch Game of Thrones if you haven't watched it, because it's incredible. It's very good. Me being late to the game, I'm seeing how awesome it is. Another cool thing about this game is that they actually have several of the characters from the TV show reprise their role in the game. So you actually have the actors and actresses who play the characters in the TV show do the voices for the game. And the game reasonably looks like them. It looks like a Telltale version, so it's fitting. But what's cool is we actually have Lena Headey as Cersei Lannister, Natalie Dormer as Marjorie Tyrell, Peter Dinklage as Tyrion Lannister, and Ewan Rion as Ramsay Snow. So all reprising their roles in this episode alone, which is really cool. So well done, Game of Thrones, for doing that, slash well done, Telltale Games, for getting the actual actors to be in the game. It's pretty cool. In this episode, you end up playing as three different characters. You play as Garrett Tuttle. He's the squire to Lord Gregor Forrester. We've got Ethan Forrester. He's the third son of Gregor. I think he's about 14 or something like that. And then lastly, we've got Mira Forrester. She's the oldest daughter, and currently she's in King's Landing working as a handmaiden for Marjorie Tyrell. So we've got the Forrester family kind of spread throughout Westeros itself. So it's kind of cool. So the game starts off and you're playing as Garrod, and it is the night of the Red Wedding. Of course, anyone who's watched the show or even really knows about pop culture knows the Red Wedding is this huge event where stuff goes down. It's the night of that. And so Garrod is working as a squire, and so he needs to go and get more wine. And so he heads off to do that with another one of his fellow squires, a guy named Bowen. And Bowen's kind of an asshole and complains a lot. And when you're going to get wine, Garrod notices that the people around him all have notices that the Freys are armed. There's lots of people who are hanging out, but they also have their swords. So Garrod recognizes something's up. And here, in a classic choice fashion, like we saw in Life is Strange, and other games, you have your first choice of the game. Garrett is given the opportunity to either stay with Bowen, or he can run away and try to warn Lord Forrester that something is going on. I chose to leave Bowen. He was kind of an asshole, but I also thought, if I get killed, I won't be able to help Lord Forrester, so I'm going to get out of here. I ran away. I was in the minority. Only 34% of people did this. 66% of people stayed behind with Bowen. For me, as I did run away, Bowen ends up getting stabbed through the neck by one of the Frey's men. So that wasn't good. Chris on Twitter had a similar experience. He wrote in and said, I ended up getting him killed the first time. So I think he also ran away. So sorry, Bowen. We hardly knew you. Garrett then runs back to Lord Forrester. On the way to Lord Forrester, he sees his eldest son, Lord Forrester's eldest son, get killed in battle. Lord Forrester then gives him his sword that needs to go back to their kingdom. And he says, take this back to the kingdom. I don't want it in the Frey's hands. Also give this message to Duncan. And Duncan is Garrett's uncle, but also kind of the Lord Forrester's right-hand man. So give him this message. Garrett escapes with this message for Lord Forrester, and he sees Lord Forrester killed by some of the Frey's men. On the way home, Garrett ends up seeing some of Lord Bolton's men attacking some farmers who actually turn out to be Garrett's own family. He sees his dad lying on the side of the road with several wounds, and Garrett steps up to them, and he ends up fighting and killing two of the soldiers, and the third one runs away to go inform Lord Bolton. Garrett unfortunately sees that his dad ends up dying. He gives him some last words and dies. He also sees that his sister, who was 8 years old, was also killed by Lord Bolton's men. He heads back to the Forester's kingdom. We then switch views to Mira. And Mira receives a letter from her mother informing her about the Red Wedding. Your brother is dead. Your father is dead. Please try to get King Joffrey to make peace between the Greys and us so that we'll be okay. And so Mira's contemplating, what should I do? Meanwhile, Queen Cersei and Marjorie Tyrell had been talking, and Queen Cersei has Marjorie bring Mira to her, evidently thinking the same thing. You do need to talk to us to make sure that you are still loyal to the king, as several members of your family were just slaughtered with the Starks, who we're at war with. And so you talk to Queen Cersei for a while, and Tyrion Lannister is also there. And in talking to her, she asks you varying questions, and she asks you, who are you loyal to? Are you loyal to the king? Are you loyal to your maiden? What's the deal? And so this is our second choice in the game, where Mira can swear, who Mira will swear loyalty to. And I told Cersei what I thought she'd want to hear, so I swore loyalty to King Joffrey. And 62% of people also did that. So, common response. 38% of people swore loyalty to Marjorie Tyrell, going with the, well, she's my handmaiden, so she comes first. Chris on Twitter had a tough time with this decision as well. He said, considering how manipulative Cersei is in the series, I could never know who I should swear loyalty to. And I agree. That was tough, because Cersei is definitely the kind of person who, if you swear loyalty to her, but she didn't like it, she might think you're faking her or something like that. So she's tough. After this, we switch back to House Forrester, and Ethan is having a meeting with Lord Whitehill. And Lord Whitehill is kind of like an underling for Lord Bolton, basically. He's of some importance, but he's not like upper tier kind of thing. And you're having a meeting with him because the soldiers that Garrett had killed were his men. And so Lord Whitehill wants to do punishment. He wants to kill the person that killed his soldiers to pay retribution. Garrod, though, has been sent to the Night's Watch, so he is gone at this point. And Ethan says, "Sorry, Lord Whitehill, I've dealt with it. You know, too bad, so sad," kind of response. Lord Whitehill doesn't like this, though, so he says, "All right, well, I'll be back with Ramsay Snow, and we'll deal with this then." After this, Ethan, still contemplating what it's like to be the new king of House Forrester, he finds out that one of his soldiers has been stealing from the army. And so Ethan is forced to decide what to do publicly with someone who's been caught stealing. And the options are this. You can send him to the wall. You have to join the Night's Watch. You can remove 3 fingers from his hand, which was the standard penalty for stealing prior to this that his dad had enforced. Or you can choose to show mercy. For me, I had the 3 fingers removed. I did this because I thought that Ethan, as a young king, needed to show that he wasn't just going to be soft or get pushed around. I was in the vast minority. Only 16% of people did this. 35% of people sent the soldier to the Night's Watch, to the wall. I'd considered that, but since Garrod was already there, I was worried that the soldier might fuck it up for him, so I didn't do that. And then 48% of people chose to show mercy. They freed Eric and didn't punish him for this. On Twitter, some people wrote in about this. Chris said that he showed him mercy the first time, so he thought that was the best avenue. And then another Chris on Twitter, he said, "I think I had cut his hand off. It's been a long time since I played, but that sounds like something I would do." So he also removed the fingers. He went with the harsh judgment that you steal from the king, then you will pay for it. After making this decision, a small council meeting is going to be done. And you find out that your mom tries to send your uncle, named Malcolm, to get your brother, Asher. Asher is in Essos, and he actually got sent away from the Forester's home because he's just this crazy warrior guy, but not really fit to be around people. And he is your older brother, so this is kind of a weird spot for you because technically your older brother maybe should be king, but he's not here, so you are. But your mom sent for him because he's a warrior, and so you kind of agree, and you're like, all right, fine, I guess he would be helpful. Also at your small council meeting, you need to decide who your sentinel will be, and also where you're going to meet Ramsay Snow when he will meet. So your sentinel, this is kind of like your right-hand man. Who is going to be your person? And to decide this, you have 2 options. You have Duncan Tuttle or Sir Roiland. So Duncan Tuttle, he's kind of a diplomat type of guy. He's Garrod's uncle, who we mentioned earlier. He previously helped Lord Forrester. He seems like a good guy. He seems to be a good advisor, and he's I think he's slower to act, but like wise, that kind of deal. Then you have Sir Roiland, who is an awesome soldier, and he's very quick to say, show force, never show weakness, attack, move forward, proactivity, that sort of thing. So you're given a decision, who's going to be your sentinel? And I chose Duncan Tuttle, and 69% of people also did this. I did this, I think in part because of what Lord Forrester said to Garrod, and sending an instruction specifically to Duncan alone. So if Lord Forrester trusted him, I felt like I should. Which I don't know if that should impact this, because Ethan wasn't a part of that decision, but I was personally, so I don't know. But that made me trust Duncan. I also thought Duncan's advice was good. And so my kind of thought in it was, I want Duncan's advice, but I will probably, and like, he's my guy, but maybe Sir Roiland's and being more aggressive is what I'll need to do, because if we're going to war, then Sir Roiland is going to be the guy I should follow in some of those things. 31% of people did choose Sir Roiland, of course. Nick on Twitter wrote in, and he said that he chose Duncan. So, like me, he thought Duncan was the better sentinel. As for meeting Ramsay Snow, this decision was split 50-50. 50% of people met Ramsay in the Great Hall, so this would be welcoming Ramsay Snow in as a lord. And then the other 50% of people met Ramsay Snow at the gate, with your soldiers trying to appear powerful. I met him in the Great Hall. Although I knew Ramsay Snow was a piece of shit from the TV show, I thought this was maybe the right move. So I did that. Chris on Twitter wrote in and said that he met him at the gate. So Chris showed force a little more here. The other Chris, with a C on Twitter, said, if I remember correctly, it was in the throne room. That did not go well. And he is right. It did not go well. You end up talking to Ramsay Snow for a while, and he ends up stabbing you, Ethan, through the neck and killing you, and taking your younger brother Ryan as hostage, who is going to end up being stuck with Lord Whitehill to work for him and kind of keep the Foresters in check. And the episode ends there. So, crazy ending. Fuck Ramsay Snow, of course. I definitely didn't see getting killed as one of the playable characters the first episode. That was cool. Very Games of Thrones-like. That's the episode itself for a couple general thoughts I have on it. The first one being is that the combat was kind of funny to get used to after playing some more traditional games like Vampire or The Last of Us or even Life is Strange. It was just funny to have combat in this. I actually, at the beginning of the game when the Red Wedding's going on, I got killed a couple of times because I was like, what the hell? Like, I just wasn't used to this style of combat. So it was kind of funny, like, being used to more gamey fights. And then when something's kind of simmered down, like in Telltale games, it was funny that it was weird to get used to. So that was one thing that was kind of funny. Another thing was putting the maggots in your wound was really gross. So when Garrod makes it back to the Forester's Kingdom, he's meeting with the Meister, and the Meister ends up having him hold open this leg wound, and then he puts maggots in it. And you actually have to do the controls to open up your wound so he can put the maggots in it. And it was super gross. Super nasty. Hated it. Didn't like doing that at all. And Telltale is good at making you do things like this. I remember in one of the Walking Dead games, there is a part where you have a wound that you have to sew up, and you actually have to do the needle going into your arm, and you have to do the action like once or twice, and it was terribly gross. I hated it, even for being like a game that looks like a Telltale game and not, you know, like super realistic or something like that. It's still really gross. So good job, Telltale, making you have to put maggots in your wound. Very nasty. For this first episode, I really like this story so far. It really felt like Game of Thrones. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been watching Game of Thrones a lot lately, and I feel very familiar with the world. And this fit right in. It didn't feel out of character or different or weird or anything like that. It really worked out. And it felt like it enhanced it, too, with the Foresters. As far as I've seen in the show, they haven't come up in a significant way, or at least not in a way I noticed. And so it didn't feel like this was like violating the show or doing anything wrong. Instead, it was just like another piece to it, which was cool. It worked out really nicely. And then last, I guess related to that, as I said, I'm watching the show, but also I started reading the first Game of Thrones book a few weeks ago, And it's been really enjoyable. Westeros is great. George R. R. Martin has made an awesome world. And just these little pieces to it. It's really nice to have this Telltale game as an additional piece. And I'm really looking forward to, as I catch up on the show and catch up on the books, and as I go through this game, making this world more well-rounded. It's super enjoyable and super well done. It doesn't feel like it's violating the world at all. It feels like it fits in very nicely. So those are my thoughts. I had one last thought from Chris on Twitter, and he says, I thought that this game was really good, and it added a cool backstory that utilizes the Game of Thrones lore without disrupting it. And I think I totally agree with that. In doing this, it doesn't feel intrusive. It doesn't feel like it's, Game of Thrones just wanted to make money, so let's just slap the label on it and make it something. Instead, it feels like it's almost if a TV show could have a side quest or something like that. It feels right. It feels good. So, that's, I guess, my thoughts on the first episode from the Game of Thrones Telltale series, and I'll keep going through this and put the episodes out in the future as well. So in the meantime, if you have any thoughts on this game or otherwise, please email us at thegreateststoryeverplayed@gmail.com. Write in there, or go find us on Twitter @storyeverpod and let us know what you think. And we will see you next time. See ya.